see the three kings. Three women, three kings.
Well, hello.
Welcome to He Saw, She Saw.
If you're just joining us, I am Corey.
I am Keith.
And we love movies.
Just not the same ones.
So, we make each other watch a movie that we love.
But the other one has no interest in and would never see unless we were doing a podcast.
And we talk about it.
So here we go. It's the week of three. So, Corey, what is the movie I get to watch this week?
Well, Keith, you get to watch Three Women. It is a Robert Altman movie based on a dream that he had.
Why am I watching this movie? Because usually that is a non-starter. Like, usually the stuff you have me watch is very linear, very easy to follow. I'm the one who likes complex things.
Well,
so,
because I thought maybe you would like... Really? Okay. So...
No. Tell the truth. Tell the truth.
And you know this about me. I'm kind of an introvert.
Oh, just slightly.
So, like, my friends would come to the door and want to play. I'd be like, no, I'm reading. No, I have a Barbie city that I've constructed in my room, and I don't want to play with anyone right now. Mm-hmm. So, I would watch these weird movies on, like, the movie channel. Or I would also watch The Munsters, and I would watch The Little Rascals. Mm-hmm. And I saw all the Jerry Lewis movies. Yeah. Like Jerry Lewis, Dean Martin movies, I can't believe you haven't seen.
I'm with you. Well, I'm a big Dean Martin fan, but the idea of Dean Martin, I guess I'm a fan of. I don't know for sure.
So all those things would come on Sunday afternoon. And so then there were these weird movies that would come on. And I recognized Shelley Duvall from Popeye. And I was like,
I don't have to watch Popeye.
Olive oil. No.
Oh, thank God.
So I was like, oh, Olive Oil's in this movie. Let's watch it. And she was just so weird and bizarre and just like such a character that I couldn't take my eyes away from her.
Okay.
And so that is pretty much the main reason I like this movie is because it's like a train wreck I can't tear my eyes away from. You know what? This is actually your fault because you purchased this movie for me as a gift.
I did. That's what you asked for before I knew there was a podcast. When I bought this for you a couple years ago and I've avoided it to this point.
And you can no longer look away. I'm going to Clockwork Orange your eyeballs. Have you seen Clockwork Orange?
No, I haven't.
Well, you're lucky. I didn't really like that one. We don't have to watch it.
When you said Three Women, I was just like, okay, this is too easy. So I'm pulling a memento here. So I'm hoping I'm getting a memento and not a death proof here. So I heard of this movie. I thought this movie would probably be pretty good. I did not see it in theaters, but this was back when I was doing PR for Microsoft and used to just buy a couple DVDs every week just because I could.
So that's why we have 200 movies.
Well, I got rid of a lot of them. but yeah, and so Three Kings is a movie that I was like, okay, I'm a fan of this type of movie. So I was like, I think I'm going to like this movie. So I just bought it.
Wow.
And
that's brave.
I watched it once and I was like, oh, this movie was awesome. However, it's got a big strike going against it before we start here. Because it's about the Gulf War. Now, it was made in 99. So it's about the original Gulf War that happened when you were still in high school. So it's about that Gulf War. And one of the reasons I really like the movie in general is that it was a warning to the United States about what can happen when we go to war in other countries. Mm-hmm. So I realized that
Which is a subject that I love.
I know. It's just right up your alley. So do not worry. We are not going to get into Middle East politics.
Oh, my God.
So not the right platform
for
that.
Although I did meet Benjamin Netanyahu once.
I know. That's such a cool story.
I made him coffee.
There you go.
But anyway.
So I like that. And so there's a whole other history stuff I could get into, but I'm not going to because it's not a history podcast.
No, it's not.
All right. So
we're going to watch Three Women.
Get the silver things ready. So we're about
to
watch.
The silver thing? Oh, yeah, the eye holder openers?
Get the silver needle eye things.
They're not needles. It's like an eyelash curler.
Oh, my God. Well, that was a movie. This is what I get for having you watch Death Proof. last week. So,
well, it's funny because while we were watching it,
we both had the thought there is a connection, which we'll get to later, yeah, between the two movies. And it would have been absolutely, it would have been perfect to have these two movies at the same time.
Uh-oh.
But, but yes, Corey, how
does
did
that bode well for this?
Well, there's a lot of boding. So, so Corey, did this movie hold up for you?
Well, I mean, like I said, when I was younger, you know, I just, it was such, it's such a bizarre movie, and Shelley Duvall is just such a bizarre character. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I still, it's funny because I had a couple of revelations that I didn't realize when I was younger watching it.
There is so many analogies between this and Death Proof, like us watching it, like the look on your face during this movie was a lot of what was on my face during Death Proof, which was, which was, I've made a horrible mistake. And I'm sorry to make you watch this movie.
So, Keith.
Yes.
Do you have a pitch for this movie?
Are
you just so overwhelmed?
No. Okay. No. The serious pitch for this. I would say three lonely women try to find their way in a desolate desert town.
Oh.
I think is how I would pitch three women.
Nice.
So,
I think that's valid.
If you're definitely expecting a story with the definitive beginning, middle, and end,
and answers
and logic, and then this is not the movie for you. But it does have some very interesting things to say in a way, and really not to say, but yeah, entrees into very interesting conversations you mm-hmm. could have.
Well, and it's almost like a psychological thriller.
Oh, totally. Yeah, yeah. I would totally say that. That would, if I had to pick
a genre.
Outside of trash bag, I would say, just
how dare you?
Just joking, kind of. Anyway, so open in this desolate desert town mm-hmm. at a rehabilitation center for geriatrics, so for old people. It's got a swimming pool.
And can I just real quick say what I said when we were watching it?
Yeah.
So anytime I watch a movie that's like set in olden times and there's like a dog, like 1920s movies, and there's like a dog, I go, oh, that dog's dead.
Yeah, it's a big pick-me-up. So
the whole time I was like, all these people are dead, Keith.
Yeah. So we start at this geriatric hospital, and there's a new girl who's played by Sissy Spacek, and her name is Pinky. And she is just seems new to living. Yes. She is clearly
like
from a very small town. I could only watch a little bit of the commentary. But Altman said that it's like she's an alien trying to learn to be human.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just watching and trying to mimic. So the person she fixates on is who she thinks is the most together popular person there, who is played by Shelley Duvall. And her character's name is Millie.
Millie Lamoureux.
Millie shows her around, explains the job, and is incessantly talking all the time. Now, at first, it seems like she's just popular and got a strong personality. And so mm-hmm. everyone's listening to her. And it becomes clear
mm-hmm.
that the only person who's really listening to her is Pinky.
Mm-hmm.
So,
because she just narrates everything.
Everything. It really becomes clear that no one cares about Millie. No one cares about anyone besides themselves in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
What ends up happening is that Millie needs a roommate. Pinky sees this chance to just enter the life of this woman she's just totally infatuated with. She becomes Millie's roommate. And at this point, we really see that no, Millie's kind of just weird. It's just really weird. She cannot drive her car without her skirt getting caught in the door, which is a great...
Every time.
Millie is not together. Millie's got mm-hmm. stuff that's wrong with
There's
her.
There's a crack.
And so as Millie shows the apartment, it's more than anything Pinky could ever imagine. She keeps saying like, oh, the kitchen is so big. It's a tiny kitchen. Yeah. She's like, oh, you know, we got to share
a bedroom.
And so she's just totally infatuated by everything, including where Millie likes to hang out, which is called Dodge City. It's like when you drive in the desert and you just see like kind of a not good tourist attraction.
Like weird stuff on the side of the road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's got like a miniature golf course, which is closed, and it's this bar. And so they go into the bar. And Millie, of course, knows everything about everything.
Yep.
And so
she's narrating.
There's no one literally in the bar. So they have to.
Well, the guys must be out back.
Must be out back riding motorcycles because no one cares about anyone in this movie.
No.
Except for themselves. So as we're walking back to hang out with the guys, we see a woman who's making these weird, like mythological murals.
Mm-hmm.
And it's of
like lizard people.
we see these murals throughout. We saw them in basically any swimming pool. We see these murals, and they're made by this woman named Willie, who owns this horrible Dodge City thing, and with her husband Edgar,
And the
and the
apartments.
apartments that they live in. And so Pinky is fascinated with these murals. They're different kind of scenes, but they all have basically a masculine
Character.
character who's kind of angering or like lording over the
The
female characters,
women, yeah.
sometimes with a monstrous penis. So
Sometimes.
sometimes, you know, just, you know, but
Just a cage.
not in an exact sexual way.
Lot of
It's just
nips.
like, just he's really endowed. We have our three women, which are Pinky, Millie, and
Willie.
Willie. As they're leaving the bar, we meet Edgar, who also owns this, and he's significantly older
Old.
than the, so he's like kind of like 50s, maybe early 60s.
Yeah, I feel like people looked older back then. He looks 60 to
Yeah, but
me.
he's still a little sprightly.
You're very spry.
So he is a former stunt double, not stunt man. So there's your Death Proof connection. And he is just weird, like everyone else in this. So he has these like kind of tricks you play on a 6-year-old that he plays
Right. Oh,
on
that cord
Pinky.
out of your ear
Yeah.
type trick.
Also, what happens in this conversation with Edgar between his jokey jokes is we find out that Pinky's real name is Mildred. But Pinky says she hates that name, which completely offends Millie. Because again, Pinky is kind of like an alien, so she doesn't realize that Millie is a nickname for Mildred. To throw everything kind of forward a bit, things come to a head between Pinky and Millie when Millie is going to get to throw one of her great dinner parties, which
She's
she was just, it was
famous
very
for those.
Grey Gardens, if you've seen that, of like
Yeah.
just self-important. And she, her big dish is going to be pigs in a blanket. And so she goes and gets groceries and they work
All the
so
processed food.
hard. And Millie is all dressed up and Millie is all dressed up and
Like in a prom dress with a corsage.
Pinky has to take out some trash. And as she is, the guests basically they roll in and they say, "Yeah, we were supposed to hang out for dinner, but the boys are hot to trot, so we're gonna go over to Dodge City.
See ya.
See ya." And so that just is a meltdown for Millie. With this insult of not hanging out, Millie just loses it on Pinky. And so she decides she's going to go out to Dodge City because she's going to have some fun for a change. And all of Millie's problems is Pinky's fault. So Pinky falls asleep and wakes up to Millie coming home with the man. And we don't know who that man is at first. And then we see that it's Edgar. And I forgot a plot point earlier, which is important to note. Pinky is mortified because Willie, who we met earlier, is obviously with child. But Millie's probably a bit drunk and Edgar is completely sloshed.
He doesn't care.
And so Millie it finishes the tirade she had on Pinky earlier and basically
You don't like
says,
the way I live.
"Yeah, then you just can move out and the sooner the better, basically." And so Pinky is just distraught. Pinky decides to commit suicide by jumping into a pool. Like there's a pool in the center of the
Yeah, there's
complex. It's
a
like a motel or like, you know,
from the second floor.
from the second floor
Basically
railing.
like a belly flop.
Willie is immediately the first one on the scene to pick up Pinky. With all the commotion, Millie comes down, dressed, fully dressed now, trying to see what's going on. And Edgar comes out a little bit afterwards, and Willie sees that Edgar was in
Millie's
Millie's
apartment.
apartment, and Edgar gives her a look of like, "What? Do what I want."
And she's like, "You're slime."
Yeah, like there was no question he was a bit of a loser. And now it's just like, "Oh yeah, you're a full douche." And so Pinky, for some reason, has to go to the hospital. And because this fall has basically knocked her out, put her into a
Well, she's in a
coma.
coma, yeah.
So she's in a coma. Millie is feeling super guilty because obviously her she doesn't admit it to anyone, but her tirade obviously
Made her do
pushed
this.
her over the edge.
Yeah.
And so Millie does everything she can. She visits daily.
But
She
before that, can I just say real quick, remember the doctor was like, oh, she's in grave danger. She's just really, she's, you know, she's really critical. And then Millie's like, ah, and he's like, oh, she'll be fine. Let me buy you breakfast.
Yeah. What? A lot of the dialogue kind of felt like The Room. Anyway.
Sorry. So she feels bad. Does
everything. She, against all odds, finds her parents. Millie brings in the parents because this is going to wake her out of her coma. And she wakes up, but she has a slightly different personality and she has no idea who those parents are. And so she gets super agitated. And so, yes, it is a Corey movie and there are women. So there will be amnesia as part of the movie.
Again.
So
dang it.
Anyway, she needs still to recover and she needs some mothering, which Millie does. But Pinky is different. She basically becomes the Millie that Millie wants to be. Because she's sick, quote unquote, she basically totally lords that over Millie, makes her sleep in the in the living room. She takes both beds. She and she says that her name isn't Pinky anymore. It's Mildred. Earlier on, we see that Millie has a diary under a lock and key. Of course, she shows Pinky
where the key is.
Accidentally, exactly where it is. And so Pinky has read and voraciously is reading Millie's diary. And at this point, Pinky has taken over the diary and is starting to do entries and writing like Millie used to write. The climax, I guess, of the movie, there's kind of this final breakdown and this really weird dream that we're not sure is it. It's, guess it's Pinky's with this weird dream.
Which kind of like shows Pinky her past a little bit.
A little bit of the past. Things, characters have happened throughout. Dream very much calls out the duality of how Millie and Pinky are kind of the same person in many ways. And so at the end of this dream, it's like a nightmare and Pinky kind of wakes up, is a slightly different personality and says, hey, I had a bad dream. Can I sleep with you? That doesn't last very long because a drunk Edgar has the keys because, of course, he owns the whole complex and kind of opens up, just goes in the apartment, goes into the refrigerator, gets a beer, and that beer opening of beer startles.
Yeah, not the opening the apartment, opening the fridge.
And he wants to get a little something going on with one or both, because at this point he slept with both of them. And so, or at least we think he has. And he's like, and they're like, where is Willie? And he's like, ah, she's getting, she's having the baby. Which of course, Millie and Millie especially is like, oh my God, well, who's with her? And he's like, ah, she can do it. I can't do anything. She's out by herself. Millie and Pinky jump into the car. They drive out to Dodge City, which I guess is where Edgar and Willie normally live.
Yeah, they live in the house in the back.
Willie is in the midst of birthing pains and it is not going well. So Millie just is trying to help. She yells at Pinky to go to the hospital and get a doctor.
And bring him back.
And bring him back, which I don't know if that's how doctors worked in the 70s. And so we have this really weird birthing scene where Pinky is just kind of frozen.
And we're seeing her point of view.
Yeah. And she's watching this birthing. So Millie walks out. She's got blood again,
all over her
because she's been there to help. And the baby clearly is stillborn or something. We never quite see it. And so she goes out and she's like, oh my gosh, to Pinky, you never left. And she rears her hand back for a slap. Pinky is somewhat changed somewhat. We go to the last scene of the picture, which is we're at the bar. Some Coca-Cola salesmen are dropping off the bottles for the weekly shipment or whatever. And Pinky is there behind the bar, but she is not quite a kid anymore. She's kind of like a like junior 13. High. Yeah. She's
smacking
gum. Smacking gum, reading. And the driver is like, hey, I need someone to sign for this. And she's like, oh, I'll get my mom. It's like, she's clearly over 18. She could sign for it. But she goes to the back and she gets mom. And it is Millie dressed up like Willie. And in the midst of signing for the Coca-Cola.
But a shorter skirt.
Yeah. So that could still get caught in a door of a car. But anyway. So she signs and the delivery driver says something like, yeah, it's so weird to hear about Edgar, you know, him being so good with guns at all. And Millie just flat out deadpan says something along the lines of, yep,
But it was more like, yes, it's such a shame. We're all upset.
Yeah. And it was just like, and so he's
Ugh.
like, okay, whatever, which passes for dialogue in this movie. And so Kenny leaves, and Millie and Pinky go out back to the house where they tried to deliver the stillborn baby. And Willie is there. And what's happened is that Pinky calls Millie mom. And Willie, for the first time, really says more than one or two words.
Yeah,
And
like the whole
basically,
sentence falls out
along the lines of, quit being so hard on Millie.
on, yeah,
Millie, and Millie in this
is
case means
Pinky.
Pinky. And she says, I had just a wonderful dream, but I can't remember what it was about. And then,
And you're like, what? Is this whole thing her dream?
yeah,
Yeah,
and then we're done.
it's over. We did watch some of it again with just like we turned the commentary on just to kind of see
What the heck we just
what
watched.
we, yeah.
Again, the movie is very clearly, unapologetically, a avant-garde impressionistic movie. He is it like a song or like an instrumental song. I'm not going to tell you exactly what's happening here, but there's going to be some familiar tones, there's going to be a mood created, and then
Yes.
you are going to fill in the blanks because our minds all constantly try to make logical sense of everything. And so,
Well, and he even says, if I could make an impressionist painting with music, that's what I would make.
yeah, and you know what? He came as close as you're probably going to come here.
So you didn't like that about the movie.
Yeah, that's just not my type
Yeah.
of, or yeah, my and my it was too much for my brain to come up with a coherent. So anyway, but it's meant to be discussed. So let's just
Let's
discuss it.
discuss. Let's have a discourse.
So there's so many different
Wait,
interpretations
hang
of
on. Let me
this.
turn my chair backwards so I
Yeah,
can.
let me put my hat backwards. I'll tell you guys the real, to get
deal.
real with you. I don't think it's about the characters. I think it's about us as humans. I think that the desert is meant to represent this blank universe landscape we just find ourselves in. And the characters are the representation of us trying to find our way in it. So I think that's why it's such a cult classic, is that it can kind of be it's like Rorschach paintings. And it's like, yeah, it's not about what's on the ink, it's about what's in your head. And so all of us have kind of this childlike, innocent character within us who's trying to figure stuff out. We all have kind of like the late teen young adult who thinks they know everything and is trying to make the world work and trying to mother or father that little innocence within us. And then I believe as we age, we have this kind of matriarch or patriarch who has seen the world, kind of knows your place in it, and is just trying to make it work.
And can actually see into all the BS.
Yeah. And so that's kind of what I, to me, that's what the movie's about. And trying to understand it from a linear story
Ah,
perspective
you and I think the same thing.
isn't the way. Is that your interpretation
Yeah,
of it as well?
totally. Yeah.
That is an interesting thing to think about. I don't know if this movie is the best way to do that, but it is an interesting idea to figure out. And it's crazy that we have the same interpretation after not talking about it. Shelley Duvall is amazing. And I just, especially now looking at her issues with mental health, I just feel so bad for her. Using the two movies you've shown me as a guide, is she was just this amazing light who was just exploited by different male directors. And at the time, the male directors probably didn't realize what they were doing, because a lot of this, which I'm not,
Because he big talks about how he gave her a hard time when
yeah.
he like auditioned
She
for
clearly had is an overabundance of superfluous amount of talent who needed protection, and she didn't get it,
Yeah.
which makes me sad.
That makes
So
me
yeah. So yay, Shelley Duvall. I don't think you'll ever listen to this, but
Yeah.
we love you.
We
We're
love you.
rooting for you. We're sorry we weren't there to help protect you. And so,
Well, I wasn't born yet.
yeah, and I would have been too. So I wouldn't have been much help. So even though Altman is the one who directed this, he gave so much of the narrative to Shelley Duvall, like, literally says, "I made this up as I went along."
Right. It, literally, the way he talks about it is like it all just kind of happened to him. It's kind of like when you're doing a theater experience and it's like, again, it's a devised theater piece that it just kind of happens to you. And it means a lot to the cast and the director and everything. But the audience necessarily hasn't been in on it.
Yeah. So, sometimes it's brilliant and sometimes it's like, wow.
Wow.
I didn't realize how feminist this podcast would be. But there's clearly a lot of... Every woman's struggle is how do I make it in a world where men control it? Like, sheesh. That was a very heavy theme as well that they don't talk about directly, but is, to me, is clearly something that's going on, you know? And again, it's Millie's character, Shelley Duvall. It's like, she's doing everything right. I mean, she was following the advice of like
good housekeeping.
Like, this is what you do. This is what you do to get a guy interested in you. This is what that's, you know,
how you make pigs in a blanket.
This is how you make it perfect. And not taking into account there are other people and that there are other people and they have different likes and stuff like that.
The revelation I had, and I don't know, I might be wrong, but when Pinky comes back to the apartment, she has amnesia. She has a general idea of who Millie is, but really doesn't know who Millie is. She's reading the diary because she thinks that she is Millie Lamoureux. And so that's why she is adding to the diary. And that's why she gets angry at Millie when Millie like picks up her diary and is like, oh my God, she's been writing in my diary. Pinky thinks that she is Millie and that Millie is Pinky, who's like dragging her down.
That's crazy. Yeah, I hadn't realized that, but yeah, I totally think that makes sense. Why she acts the way she does, and if she doesn't know who she is and comes in and has a vague sense that her name is Millie,
and they have the same name,
Mildred. Yeah, and they have the same name. It's like, oh well, I am this one. One of the other interesting things, which I think could make sense, is I think that Pinky has multiple personalities, and so. If that's true, then yeah, you have like the Pinky Mousy character. You have the Mildred character, who would be more sexually aware and more. And then you could have Millie at the very end, could be
the teenage.
Yeah, and I guess
And the way she plays all those. It's like, she's amazing. Well, okay, I'm almost afraid to ask. With all that said, where are your thumbs? Because I don't know where your thumbs were in the beginning. Because I feel like you were excited. Not excited. Let me rephrase that. I feel like you were interested.
Yeah, I mean, it is definitely not a movie I would ever watch on my own. So by definition, I would say it's like... both thumbs down before. I knew it was an important movie, but I didn't want to watch it. Having watched the movie, I still have to keep the thumbs down, but one of the thumbs is kind of toggling towards middle a little bit.
Why?
It isn't, because again, the intellectualism, the cultural significance for like the American canon of cinema. It's an important movie.
Well, it's part of the Criterion collection.
That is true, which is only kind of a marketing play. It's much more of a marketing play now than it used to be. But yeah, so it's, yeah, if you're a huge film buff, I think you definitely have to see it. But
definitely should be in a film class.
Yeah, and definitely should be on film class. But to humans with free will. Other things to do. Then, outside of Shelley Duvall completists, then yeah.
So I feel, yeah, that's fair. I feel like if you like Shelley Duvall and you want to see her, I mean, just to do, like, maybe someone made a clip of the best Millie moments.
A lot of talking.
So much talking. I know that you purchased this movie after seeing it one time.
I believe actually I bought it then watched it. I think I was gosh. That
wow, that's bold.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to do that a lot, so
Yeah, it's funny because I did that a couple times and I learned my lesson, so
I had some remarkable success with it. Not total. I don't do that anymore.
I'm gonna ask you, how did it hold up for you?
I am incredibly relieved that it totally held up to me. It was actually in some ways even better than I remember it being. I think it did a great job of showing like the chaos that surrounds war, or in this case, like a peacekeeping operation, how there's so much tension like the whole time. This is around the time that the Cold War is ending, and then suddenly Saddam's invading, and so it's just, I felt a lot of tension throughout, but a lot of kind of tension, and then, oh, everything's okay, but then is everything really okay? So I thought it did a good job of capturing that.
I do have a pitch for this movie.
Oh, I'd love to hear it.
So as you said, this is just after the first Gulf War ends. A group of soldiers find a treasure map and embark on a gold heist, which quickly goes south and turns into a rescue operation.
It spoils one of the main twists in the movie, but yeah, I
Well,
think
yeah, I
that's,
mean, that's what we do.
yeah,
We spoil
we
things.
spoil. So if you
I'm
want to watch
spoiled
this
milk
fresh,
over
you got to
here.
go now. So you got to pause and go watch it and come back.
I'm gonna just kind of go into like what I understood the plot to be, and I cheated a little bit because I checked to make sure I was right. Because the whole time I was watching it, so as you said, we're at the end of the first Persian Gulf,
War, yeah.
1991 war, and we meet Troy Barlow.
Yeah, I think that's right.
And he's I'm not sure what rank he is. I'm sorry, I apologize. I didn't pay attention to that part. But he's played by Marky Mark. And then we have Spike Jonze, which was a big surprise.
Yeah, the director of Being John Malkovich
I
and
didn't realize it
Her
was
and
him until the title card came up at the end. I was like, what? Who was Spike Jonze? And so he plays Vig, who's just very young, very green, very dumb. And like worships Troy, Marky Mark. So they are taking care of surrendering Iraqi soldiers.
So at this point, the ceasefire has been signed, which Saddam basically, which means, hey, Saddam's getting out of Kuwait, you know, and so we're not going to fire at you anymore. You're leaving.
Please
And so,
surrender. And they have like, little pictographs that show, hey, if you surrender, we'll give you food and we'll take care of you. So they're doing that, and they're making them take off their head wear
Scarves, yeah.
scarves.
It is culturally insensitive, but they're trying
Oh,
to stay
totally.
alive. And one of the issues in, especially in wars in general, is that soldiers don't always look like soldiers. And especially in a
So to
situation
make sure.
where an overpowering force like the UN-led coalition that went into Kuwait, you can't fight that one-on-one. And so you have to have civilians and spies and martyrs and so on and so forth. So they're basically avoiding getting blown up by someone.
Okay, I know this is your favorite subject. I'm gonna have to tight.
Oh, I'm already going tight.
Jeez, okay. So, Marky Mark and Spike, they're processing them and like handcuffing them and stuff. And as they do that, one of the Iraqi people is resisting. And so, they end up forcibly removing his clothing, and they find a map in his butt,
Sticking out.
sticking out of his butt.
Porky pig.
So they pull it out, and they pull it out, and they're like, oh, this is a map. That's interesting. Let's take it to Ice Cube. And so they take it to Ice Cube.
The chief,
He's
yeah.
Chief Elgin, but I will for here on in refer to him as Cube.
Makes sense.
So they take it to Cube, I guess, because he can. They're translating it and trying to figure out what it is, and they are kind of keeping it under wraps. And so then we have George Clooney plays Archie, and Archie
Archie
is
Gates, yeah.
Archie Gates, and he is a special forces soldier, special
I want
forces
to say
guy.
major.
Okay. And he is acting as a reporter handler.
Yeah, they make a big deal that he's got 2 weeks and he's done. So they're like, just,
He's real done.
yeah, he's completely done with being a soldier.
Yeah.
And so,
So he's the handler for this feisty reporter played by Nora Dunn of Saturday Night Live. What happens is Miss Nora Dunn, who plays Adriana Cruz, I
Yeah, I think
think.
Adriana Cruz, yeah.
Yeah. She is a reporter, and she is not satisfied with the stories that she's getting because, again, Archie is done. He's yeah. over it. And so she gets a tip off that there has been this map. This butt map has been found. So Archie shows up looking for this map. So he bursts into the tent where Marky Mark and Ice Cube are. And he's like, hey, what are you guys doing? Oh, you know, I'm trying to hide it. And he's like, yeah, okay, well. Gets out his special forces black light and they look and that they see that there's been secret ink and it's actually a map to what looks like bunkers, probably of Saddam's golden bullion, not the kind that you make soup with. Mm-hmm. And so they talk about it's near this place called Karbala. That's what they call it.
Okay.
And so they're like, yeah, let's go get it.
Mm-hmm.
So they leave early that next morning to steal the gold. And Archie sends, Jamie Kennedy is in this movie. And he plays a big dumb idiot.
And it's hilarious, like so every funny. Second of this movie.
Yeah. At one point, he has like no pants on. He's just like shuffling around in his green undies. But anyway. So he sends Jamie Kennedy to on a wild goose chase with Nora Dunn's character because he doesn't want her on his tail. They go to that village. And when they get there, they storm through. They don't find anything. There's a lot of villagers there, and it's kind of clear that they're like starving, and there's like Iraqi soldiers there, and then there's like Iraqi dissidents also there.
Yeah, just to help with the geography, from what I understand, Karbala is in Iraq. Mm-hmm. And so what's happening is to get this bunker, they're having to go into Iraq. Mm-hmm. To do so, and they're away from like their protection,
right? Got guns and they're storming in, and it's like, what are you doing? You're gonna start another war? What's happening here?
Yeah, a lot of just yelling with guns,
yeah,
with pieces of paper claiming something is something that the other person can't read.
Exactly. So. Like, oh, you know, that it's not here, it's at the next camp or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that like the regular people are like, please don't leave us. Mm-hmm. And we're starving. And I think at that point the milk truck shows up and the Iraqi soldiers blow up the milk truck. And there's just this wave of milk in the desert. And these poor people are like trying to drink it off the ground. Mm-hmm. And our soldiers are soaked in it. All I could think of the rest of the movie was, oh my God, they have had a milk bath and they are walking around in 100-degree weather. So gross.
The three things that scare her most are water, milk, and ice cream. Just to her are just poison. So the idea of a milk truck bursting open, just, yeah, she was even driving a little bit.
When I was in high school, I worked at Fuddruckers. And part of my job was I had to make stupid ice cream shakes. Mm-hmm. And I am too short to really get into the ice cream fridge.
Mm-hmm.
And the ice cream was always like way too rock hard. And it would just get in my clothes and I would just smell like rotten milk.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, one of the reasons I think why I hate ice cream, which is I think we decided that this summer because our daughter loves ice cream and she wanted to know. She demanded to know why I don't like ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like milk. Like, oh, like when you put milk on cereal, I just want to throw up. Speaking of which, Keith is in this wrestling show. And one of the other wrestlers, her gimmick for a match was that she was, she had a jug of milk that she was like drinking out of. And there was like cereal got thrown out on the mat and then milk. And then they were like rolling around in it. And I was like, I'm going to throw up. I have to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Yuck. Anyway, let's pull back, I guess. I'm sorry, guys. I went on a milk tirade there.
Mm-hmm.
I just have really strong feelings about it. They leave to go to the next camp, and then they kind of realize, oh, you know what? They lied to us. And Archie is like, you know what? I saw soldiers standing around a well. I bet you that well is actually the bunker. So they go back and storm again.
Yeah, I think one of the huge high points for this movie was George Clooney's performance in it. He does this great job of kind of vacillating between like a guy who just doesn't care and like a super soldier.
Oh yeah.
And normally
it's like he's tamping it down.
Yeah. Normally it doesn't work for someone to be able to do that. Yeah. But I totally believe when he's just like, I'm out of here. And I totally believe when he's just he doesn't do anything superhuman, but it's like, okay, that's a trained soldier.
They storm the well, which is actually a bunker. So they go down. You know, they have a bunch of stolen stuff like coffee makers and radios and all that stuff. But also, they do find gold.
Mm-hmm.
And it is packed in these very presidential looking suitcases that are like purple and gold. And so they find the gold. And at that moment, I was like, that's probably like really heavy. Like, how are they going to get that? How are they going to get that out? And of course, they go to pick up the suitcase and it rips. And Ice Cube knows all about suitcases because
he's a baggage handler.
And he's like, let's use these Louis Vuitton bags that are probably laying around.
Yeah, he knew
all the stolen goods.
He knew the tensile strength.
He knew like right off the bat. It's kind of like Ice Cube can't turn off his baggage handler tensile strength. Whereas Archie can't turn off being a super soldier. So then there's all these like prisoners there as well.
Like in civilian clothes, but are clearly being like tortured. And
I think they're being in the process of being tortured and interrogated. And so they're like, get these guys out of here. And, you know, they're like in the middle of interrogating and they're like, well, too bad because we're American soldiers and we want this gold. So everybody has to leave this room. And so all the prisoners get to leave the room and then they go outside and one of the prisoners' wives and daughter, who is played by Aaliyah Shawkat from Arrested Development, maybe?
Really?
That's the daughter.
Really?
Yes.
I want to go back and watch.
I know.
I did not catch that.
Yes.
See, but the father, Cliff Curtis, is one of my favorite character actors.
You were telling me about
Should I talk about him now or later?
Go ahead.
So Cliff Curtis is this man who can play like any ethnicity. He is insanely good. And he's one of these people who acts and there's like no veil. It's just like, that's not who that person is. I could only be that person. And he actually is Maori. He's from New Zealand, but he plays any flavor of Latino, Middle East, South Asia. It's incredible. Incredible performance here, but that's just Cliff Curtis is in it. So he's going to be phenomenal.
So he's in it.
But
Aaliyah Shawkat.
I got to go back now.
In Arrested Development.
Oh my gosh, I got to go back. She's great in Arrested
Development. She was great?
Yeah.
Well, great she's amazing in Arrested Development, but she was great.
And Whip It too, right? She was in Whip It?
Yes, she was in Whip It.
Yeah, great movie.
She's been in a ton of stuff.
She's in
Search Party on HBO, which I've been trying to watch, but it's just like way too intense. It's one of those Dead to Me situations where I like, oh, this will be funny. Oh, what am I watching?
Oh my gosh.
Dang it, and I have to watch the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I'm so glad I was able to surprise you.
You did.
I've been sitting on that all day. The wife and Aaliyah, they get to see the husband, the dad, his name's Amir, and the Iraqi soldiers are being jerks, you know, because they're trying to interrogate him. And and so Marky Mark runs out and gets a bread truck, and they fill this truck with the Louis Vuitton bags of gold. There's like, I don't know, 48 bags.
There's a lot of tension because the soldiers are like, oh, okay, so you get to, and George Clooney says, which I'm sure was true, that America could, or the United Nations could repatriate any goods that were stolen by Saddam from the Kuwaitis.
So they're taking it.
Yeah.
So and so, standing around.
But on the other hand, it's like, okay, but we're keeping the prisoners.
Right.
It's like, these people don't concern you. What we're doing to these people don't concern you.
Yeah.
You want the gold? Sure.
As long as you're just going to take the gold and we can continue to do what we're doing.
Sure. I'll believe that four of you
to come and sweep.
Yeah. And that you're going to take all of this yourself. Yeah. So they actually help load the gold for them.
Because they just want them to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Amir's wife, I'm going to cry. She's like, no, please don't go. Jeez. She's like, please don't go. They're going to kill us, you know, please. And, you know, they're kind of having this like this pulling of like, oh, these people, you know, and all these people aren't our concern. And she's like, please don't leave. And the Iraqi soldier shoots her in the head in front of her child and her husband.
Making an example. It's authoritarian awful. Suck.
Mm-hmm. So then it's like, geez, now we have to decide if we're going to get in on this or not.
Yeah, it's a crazy scene because this military guy who was helping Clooney and the gang take the gold is like, okay, you guys go now. And Clooney's like, I can't go.
Yeah,
and
sorry.
So like there's this big thing with the gun.
Yeah.
And amazingly, we have some friendly fire. So like literally, technically, they have restarted hostilities and they take off. And as they're taking off, another part of the army shows up and the soldiers are like, oh my gosh, you know? And so the new military guy is like, they broke the peace agreement. We're going after them. And so
this is war.
They shoot mortar blasts at him, which forces them to go into a minefield, which.
Right. And then gas. Mm-hmm. So as their vehicles get, one gets blown up, one, you know, flips over and is completely useless.
Mm-hmm.
And there's gas everywhere. It's hard to see. And so I guess some new like rebels show up and they start, and they're, I guess some of them are priests, and they start rescuing the people and the soldiers. But Marky Mark gets captured by, and two kids gets captured by that Iraqi army from where the bunker
from where they just left. Yeah.
So he gets dragged off, and then everyone else is like down in underground, and they've just been saved. They want to go back and save Marky Mark. And so the people that they've just rescued agree that they will help them get Marky Mark back if they agree to get them safely to the Iranian border, because there is a refugee camp there in Iran.
Cliff Curtis says, look, you know, this is our gold now. We'll give you a share of it. Clooney's like, well, look, I'm okay with that as long as you show us where we can get Marky Mark back. And they say deal and shake hands. And then Cliff says, and you will take us to the Iranian border.
Yeah.
Because he realizes even with the gold, they're still in Iraq.
Yeah,
they are
to get out.
They are.
It's a not without my daughter situation.
They're gonna be hunted down. Like, cause, and that's again the craziness of the situation is that there was real discussion about the US going all the way in and kicking out Saddam. And so people risk their lives and then we take off and we withdraw the support. So they have to get to a refugee camp.
Meanwhile, Marky Mark is back in the bunker and he's locked in a room and he finds a box of old cell phones. And so he starts trying to use all of them.
He gets this like European operator and he's like, I like Desert Storm, please.
Yeah, exactly. And that doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And he calls his wife and she's like, oh, hey, when are you coming home? Oh, I'm going to set up an appointment for you. And he's like, you call my recruiter and tell them I'm at this place. And so he writes it down. And then there's this big blast. She's like, what's going on? He's like, oh, the wall just blew up. Okay, gotta go, bye. So in the meantime, Archie, Cube, and POWs, since their vehicles have been destroyed, they decide that they're gonna walk until they find vehicles. So they walk like, you know, they 18-ish miles or something, and they get to an Iraqi deserter camp. Mm-hmm. And they just so happen to have a fleet of luxury vehicles.
One of the great things about dictators and totalitarian leaders is they have lots of luxury vehicles.
Apparently. So they have to end up using some gold to buy the cars off them, but not a Lexus convertible. They decide, hey, we will dress up these vehicles to look like Saddam is in them and coming to get them, because what's the one thing that they're afraid of?
Is the crazy Saddam. Dictator who's
so they show up and in Saddam's quote unquote
motorcade
entourage, and so most of them run away except for a couple, and then a helicopter shows up and Ice Cube just blows it up. During this time, Marky Mark is being interrogated by Saeed, and comparing stories about both being fathers. Only Saeed's son, you know, was killed in a blast.
I think that scene was more for the audience than an actual military. You can't quite tell what he was getting at or what he was trying to do. There is a interrogation technique he could have been doing to try to turn Marky Mark, which I won't get into because you want to keep it tight. But yeah.
Yeah, I think that was more to humanize him for us. So, and the reasons why, he's in the Iraqi army. He
Yeah,
really didn't have a
it
choice.
hints at a lot of the complexities of war in general, but specifically wars in the Middle East.
So they find kind of a common ground, even though they're interrogator and interrogatee. So there was two Iraqi soldiers that kind of had ran back. They start shooting, and so Spike Jones gets shot, like I guess in the neck or the shoulder, like nowhere near anything. I guess maybe it was his carotid artery. I can never say that
I
word.
know what you're saying.
I
I
don't
think it's
know. Carotid artery.
I want to say corduroy. Is that not it?
No, it's not corduroid. It's
I
like
don't know.
cartoid. I don't
It's one of
know.
those words you read and like you never hear
Like
it pronounced. That one I
anti-disestablishmentarianism.
could
I
say.
can't say
I
it.
want to say it's a corduroid artery,
Oh, okay.
but I don't know. It
We'll
could be
look it
wrong.
up. Can you say anti? Say it. Okay,
Anti-disestablishmentarianism.
whatever. I tried. So I was. Our daughter asked me what the longest word was,
In
and I
English
tried
language.
to say it. I just cannot wrap my teeth around that
There you
one.
go.
It's too hard. Anyway.
The issue of the bullet wound
Is that
is
his lungs collapsed and he's like suffocating. And so apparently Archie is just super soldier, master of or jack of all trades, because he pulls in a medical some sort of medical needle with valve just like out of his pocket and sticks it in Marky Mark's chest and turns the valve and then it inflates his lung back up again.
Yeah, not only did he used to star in ER, but it's again,
As
like
in
George Clooney,
a hat tip to ER.
it just, and I, again, have never been trained like that, but I would imagine it would make sense that a special forces would know, hey,
How to do that.
what do you have to do in the field in case you
Yeah,
get
it was
shot?
just crazy. So then as we're working on him, we look over and we realize, Spike's dead. And I was like, what? I thought like that sucks, because like his wound seemed to be like super minor. And Archie radios Nora Dunn's character requests a ride and some medical supplies for Marky Mark. Meanwhile, they pass right by the army, who is just realizing at the camp that they're gone and then have received the wife's call that Marky Mark is in a location being held. Cube and Archie give each POW a gold bar and then they bury the rest. For us later. And then their ride shows up. It's like a bunch of Humvees and a medical guy.
Not only does he radio to get a little bit of medical supplies, but Archie, again, thinking three steps
Yes,
ahead,
yes,
is
yes.
like, I've got to get covered. Because
Yes.
again,
You videotape this.
you can't hide what they've done.
No.
They are AWOL.
Right.
They are breaking all
Trying to
sorts of
steal gold, and they've got these prisoner or they've got these refugees on their hands. And so he's like, "Hey, bring your camera."
So you can get the story of helping Iraqi refugees go into Iran.
Which is a story she can really sink her teeth into.
Exactly.
They show up, and all they have to do is cross the border.
And again, we're not sure if they're going to make it. It's a
Oh.
very tense scene because it's like, yeah.
When they have gold bars all hidden
yeah,
everywhere.
there's got,
And
well,
the
hit
Iraqi
him.
soldiers are kind of looking at him like, what are you doing?
You got like seven soldiers, seven American soldiers, and they're the only
There's like
ones allowed to have
50
guns.
refugees.
And there's like, 40 to 100 Iraqi soldiers right there. And it's a huge, like, oh my
Is this gonna
gosh,
work?
is this going to work or not?
Well, but then the helicopters show up and
The
the
US Army,
US
yeah.
Army is yelling at them from the helicopters and they F it up. The poor refugees are the Iraqi soldiers round them up and
Immediately put them in a pen to like
And
obviously
so
gonna kill
that's
them.
gonna be bad. And so they're like, please, let us just get these people across the border. And then they're trying to explain that Marky Mark, they're like, you're AWOL, we're gonna court martial you, you're in so much trouble, you just shut up and don't worry about those people. And they're like, no, Marky Mark, you have to help him because he has to do the valve or he's gonna
Every
die.
15 minutes or he'll die.
Yeah. And so they're like not paying attention. And then the soldier that's kind of guarding Marky Mark like cuts his zip tie and he lets him like do his valve. And so they're all kind of looking at each other and I'm gonna cry. And Ice Cube looks at Marky Mark and nods. Marky Mark looks at Archie and nods. And then they say, hey, we got some gold bullion. And they're
Yeah,
like,
we found the
we found
goal.
it. We have the gold. And they're like, what? Be quiet. You're lying. And they're like, check my backpack. We got it.
Well, some of it. So, because they
They
buried
buried it. They're like, we'll tell
$23 million worth of
you.
gold.
Yeah, they're like, how much? $23 million. Shut up. They're like, yeah, we'll tell you where it is, but you have to make sure that.
Yeah, do whatever you're going to do to us, but those people, you know.
Ugh.
So it's a good value proposition because this guy can look like a hero.
Everyone will look
The
like a
colonel looked like a
hero.
hero because,
Yeah.
yeah.
And whew, they go talk to the Iraqi soldiers, and the prisoners get to walk across the border.
Yeah, because there's a much bigger U.S. presence now. You know, not only is there a
Well, the whole
reporter,
army's
but
there
yeah,
now.
you got it. You got
Instead of four
helicopters. You've
guys.
got, yeah.
They were all honorably discharged.
Because of the reporting by Nora Dunn.
We learn that Archie is now consulting on Hollywood movies, and Cube is working with him. And Marky Mark has opened up a carpet store, and he has another kid. So they have two little kids now. They recovered the gold, but some of it was missing.
Well, yeah, from the refugees and from the fleet of luxury vehicles that were destroyed, saving Marky Mark and
There's a quote that I really liked
sure.
that came from this movie. It's when George Clooney says, "You do the thing you're scared of, and you get the courage after you do it, not before you do it." I thought
Yeah.
that was a very good quote. I liked it a lot. I really liked how it was made. I really liked the stylized, like, slow motion shots. I noticed that the film was very overexposed, I guess, to kind of reflect like the overexposure of like the desert and like the bleakness of the situation, maybe. I don't know.
We've been warring in the Middle East for 20 years now, so we kind of figured out how to shoot it by now. But
Yeah,
at the
but
time,
before,
it was like, how do we? So a lot of
yeah.
the footage we were getting from the front lines was really overexposed and
Yeah, and so I really like that. And I did read about how he went to great lengths to get the film to look like that, overexposed. And there was a lot of film labs that refused to like insure it if they screwed it up. And so he found like one film lab that was willing to do it.
Yeah, and also a ton of handheld shots that you
Yes.
wouldn't necessarily. And again,
Which is like is commonplace now, but I guess back then it was like Blair Witch was like the only one that was doing it, I
which
think.
looked like crap for most
Oh,
of
it's
it,
so
but again,
terrible.
it was this
That movie made me
beautiful.
throw up.
It just from a shooting perspective was such a beautiful cross between, artistic and realistic. It
Yeah.
was incredibly well done.
I enjoyed the jazz drums that would happen. There was like when tense things were happening, there was like this jazz like drum solo that
All
was
right.
happening. And then sometimes it would get mixed with like the Middle Eastern like music. I noticed that. I liked it. I really liked the little like anatomy shots where he's
Yeah, pretty
explaining
crazy.
sepsis. Like that was really cool. It kind of reminded me a little bit of like a Wes Anderson, like the Fantastic Mr. Fox, which George Clooney
It
voiced.
has such a unique look as a movie, yeah.
Yeah, I liked like the vignettes that would happen when they were like talking about stuff that could happen. So I loved George Clooney. He kind of tends to play like the guy who knows everything but is like real cool about it. He kind of tends to play that all the time, and I don't care. I enjoy it.
Sometimes I don't like it when he plays those characters and it's just not believable to me. And this one, I totally bought it.
Yeah. And then I love Marky Mark is kind of funny because in his earlier films, he's very like, oh, I get like in Boogie Nights, he's just very like his character's always very confused and unsure and
Yeah, at this point, he's played a rogue with a heart of gold so often, it's like he's just a good guy character. But especially at the time of this movie, and he used to get more roles like this of like a bad guy who has to decide, am I going to make the right choice or the wrong choice? And
Yeah.
now
It's funny when
he's done it so often, we now know he'll always make the right choice. But at the time of the
Yeah.
movie, it was like,
Well,
what is he going to do?
yeah, because it's like in Fear, like he's really good as a bad guy, like a scary guy. But like when he does comedy, it's just kind of he's just a little unsure of himself as a comedian. But yeah, so I enjoyed the performances. Spike Jones, I mean, I didn't really like the character. He was an idiot, but
Yeah, he has. It's a very quick character arc, but he starts out very racist at the
Well,
beginning of the movie, and
yeah.
very quickly, has a much different view of Arab people and.
Yeah. Well, and I knew he was good. I turned to you and I said, he's gonna die because this is called Three Kings. I did see Black Hawk Down in the theater. Someone dragged me to it. I don't remember who. I don't think they're my friend anymore. Because they took me to see Black Hawk Down.
Yeah, I would never have taken you to that.
Oh, my God. Okay. So just like really not as stressful as Black Hawk Down, but very stressful. I'm like, oh, God, what's going to happen now? A couple times looked over at you and yelled, why am I watching this?
Yeah, because you were concerned of the characters.
Right? So, very, very stressful. As I said, this isn't the type of movie that I like. I don't like more strategy.
Yeah, the only reason you would have started two thumbs down is you couldn't give three. So, yeah.
Not necessarily. I don't like war movies. I did like Forrest Gump, but that's not a complete war movie.
Wow.
What?
Okay. Let's keep going.
Do you still want to stay married to me?
Yes, I do still want to
be married. Is this like the time we were in the car and I told you that the government killed Marilyn Monroe and you almost had to pull over and kick me out, but you didn't?
I didn't. I love you.
I love you too. So my thumbs were just, you know, two thumbs down because I'm just not interested.
Mm-hmm.
However, I can recognize that it was a very well-made movie. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to have one thumb down just because not my jam. This movie was not made for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to have one thumb up because I recognize that it's a good movie. And it was entertaining. It was it was just funny enough and just interesting enough with other things going on and just pretty enough that I didn't mind that it was about the Gulf War.
First Gulf War, yeah.
So.
That's great. Go. Nice. One thumb up, one thumb down.
Yep.
Nice. Spoiled so much of that movie. We should call you Yogurt. We just hope that you really enjoy listening to us. And we love this chance to talk to each other about good, bad, and indifferent movies. And we love the fact that you listen along with us. So we really appreciate it.
Talk at you next time.
Bye.
Bye. All right. Well, it's the week of three.
Mm-hmm. We got through.
We got three women. We got three kings.
Thank you for giving me an excuse to see Three Kings again. That was a wonderful movie. I love that.
You're welcome, I guess. and thank you for sitting through Three Women. I realized that was probably really hard for you.
You are very welcome.
And you didn't get up and leave once.
No.
So next week,
you
get to see at least a fantastic movie.
Yeah, I'm not sure how you're going to like mine, but the theme for next week is basically aging out as normally. And so what is the movie you're going to have me watch?
We are going to watch How to Be a Latin Lover, starring my favorite little darling, Eugenio Derbez.
I'm really conflicted about seeing this movie. So good. He is hilarious.
I've
only seen him a couple of times, and the two times I've seen him, he's just...
Our six-year-old does not appreciate him hilarious. In Dora the Explorer because he's the bad guy.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, but like I hate like uncomfortable romantic situations and where people get humiliated. Like I hate that. And like the one preview I saw for this was like 99 seconds of... Humiliation. And 1 second of in theaters now. And that was like the only thing I've seen.
Oh my God, he's so funny.
Yeah, and I'm probably losing all the goodwill that I've created from movies I've had you watch. So I'm not confident in this one.
You should
but
be.
If there is a chance for me to get you to watch Bubba Hotep with the king himself, Bruce Campbell.
I don't even understand.
Oh, you are this movie will not help. It is going to be a crazy week for you.
Thanks for listening to us. You can check our Facebook page.
Yeah, it's the best place to interact with the show and see. Corey does a great job of coming up with images from our conversations.
Thanks. I try. Yeah. And then we have an Instagram page also, but not as good because Instagram, I just don't get it. But it's he saw, she saw pod on Instagram. And please, 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 if you are listening and all you got to do is subscribe or just like. I mean, you don't have to listen to us every week, but like just subscribe so you know when a new episode is up and then you might want to listen. So like it, subscribe it. Please tell your friends about us.